This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to another episode of the One Was Had a Dream podcast. My name is Lee Finch, and I am, as ever, joined by Danny Baker. Jonathan Orr. I think that's how I pronounce it. He has messaged and he's going to be coming on. Just need to figure out a time with him because he's 6 hours behind, but he has messaged to say he wants to come on as well. Jonathan,
are you still waiting in the turnstiles to get in, is he?
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. But yeah, he comes on the debrief. He's out in America. He's a really good lad. He talks sense. Some people think he's a bit of a tool, but yeah, he will be coming on. I just haven't had time to schedule that for this week's. But yeah, so it's me and Danny. And this week we are going to be discussing the Salford and Weymouth games. Has the EFL trophy become a big cup for us now? Danny Macklin's to-do list, as he's been in the job now for 2 weeks. Are we sitting on a goldmine with some players that we could sell? Especially with some of our youth come through, and also the players that we've sold with their sell-on clauses. Hopefully we've been correct with what we've put on them. And then a short preview, as ever, of the Tranmere game on Saturday. So let me start by introducing Danny. Danny, how are we? You good?
Pretty good, mate. How are you doing? All right?
I'm all right. I've got a bit of a cold. My missus has got it. The baby's had it. And then I've got a bit of a throat going on. But it's going around, isn't it? It's the weather changing all the time. And
You look amazing.
Your little one, do they go to nursery yet, or is it?
No, not yet. She's starting in March. Yeah, so Mrs. Baker goes back to work in 3 weeks. Just when I finish school, she'll go back for a bit. And then it's, she'll be, I think this, what is it? Nursery in March, terraces in May. That's the plan. That's the schedule.
You're fine. When she goes to nursery, mate, she'll come home every day ill. Like our boy last week was ill 2 days, fine for 2 days. Then he came home ill again because they pick up everything in nursery, got no immune system. And it's a nightmare. And then they give it to me and the missus. And then, yeah, so.
Well, talking about ill, question. Obviously, I'm a celebrity's on. Mrs. Baker loves it at the moment. We're watching all sorts of nonsense. Big question coming up for you, Mr. Finch. I'm just going to give you a bit of context. Who would you have if you had to pick five people that you could watch? You can't be in the show. Who are you picking in your five?
What do you mean? I'm watching on TV.
You're watching on TV, and they said you can handpick five people to be in it to watch. You can be people you like, people you don't like, people you think are attractive, whatever you want, people you find intriguing. Who are you thinking about?
Liam Gallagher, straight away.
What, good or bad?
Good, mate. Liam Gallagher. Yeah, I just think he'd be on. Yeah, and Robbie L would be another one.
That's a great mix-up.
He's just one of my favourite people.
You'll go around just doing like that fake head all the time, just running around doing like Bush took the trials and jumping up and winning
stuff. Why did you go all Geordie then as well?
No, because he does that, doesn't he? Not
yeah, but why did you have to do it in an Anton Deck accent?
Well, you know,
Bush took a trial.
I
don't know the other three, really.
Who don't you like? Who are you struggling to like get on with and you feel like, oh, you're annoying me?
well, Conservative Party at the moment, but can't have them all in there.
Well, no, but you can pick. I've handpicked two or three.
All politicians, pretty much.
Literally, that's what Hannah said. Hannah was like, you just put loads of politicians
in. But then I feel bad because I actually quite like Matt Hancock at the moment, which is a bad thing to kind of say, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? I want people to fire at my door soon. But yeah, he's making me laugh. And I don't like Boy George on it. Not a big fan. And Chris Moyles is kind of winding me up. And I used to love Chris Moyles.
Again, my missus is nodding exactly. Chris Moyles.
The
George.
Problem is, we've got to forget that it's all edited in that kind of way.
Of course. And this is, again, it's sort of similar to when you read stuff. It's all, we only see the owl. We don't see everything else that's going on.
Yeah. So Liam Gallagher, Robbie L. Who else? Who didn't I? Steve Evans would be quite a good one in there. Might lose a bit of weight as well.
Well, he needs it. Bless him. Just
beans and rice. I don't know. I don't really hate many people, really.
What about other people that you really like, then?
I really like. Again, I'm not into it.
You're just ambivalent, aren't you?
My favourite programme's like TOWIE, so it's
okay, we'll put them in, then.
Yeah, but they're quite boring. Quite boring, aren't they? So I'd go in there. Be a legend there, mate.
What would be your, like, Achilles heel, then? What would you
spiders.
Like?
Spiders.
Is it spiders, really?
Yeah, the missus gets rid of all the spiders in our ass. No joke either. And I mean any kind of spider. And I scream as well. So
absolute farce. Well, I've got my five here.
Go on then.
Vinny Jones.
I knew you were gonna say. I was gonna say Vinny.
Do you know what? Of all the people in the whole planet, the one guy I genuinely have not met and I'd like to is Vinny Jones. He's been my absolute hero.
Oh, I met him.
Have you? Good. Have you?
Yeah.
Oh no. I met him once. Don't say that, because they always say don't meet your heroes.
I met him once Boxing Day when we got called off, I think, against West Ham, and he was on the platform.
Was that the one that was called off really late?
Yes. Yeah literally. I was down.
Me and my old man Celeste?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that very
well. We were at Croydon.
Me and my dad were there. We were literally walking around, they were like, the game's off. We were like, what?
Yeah, we were coming back Croydon and he was there and we said hello to him and he was just didn't want to know. And then I met him at a Crazy Gang Day down at Roehampton.
Okay.
And everyone wanted his autograph, and this is when there was rumours that he was leaving at the time and stuff like that. And someone put their little thing that you get in front of him, and he got it and just luzzed it, like threw it miles because it was right in his face. But yeah, and I thought that's a bit harsh, but probably
that is harsh. Well, I've got Vinny, Jacob Rees-Mogg. Can't stand the bloke. Cannot. He looks like he should be in the Adams family, but he's not.
Yeah, I get what
he just, the way that he is, I saw like an 8-minute TikTok about him as a bloke, and I find him very, very difficult to watch.
Yeah.
I've got Lewis Hamilton.
Not a fan, good or bad?
No, not a fan at all.
You see, I think Lewis needs to do something like that to show people that he actually probably is an all right guy.
I just
guy.
Find people who get involved politically with certain things, I don't understand why everything has to be political. Why can't you just be a race car driver? I hated the idea when he was like, everyone should be vegan. It's a disgrace if you're not. Oh, by the way, I've opened 20 vegan restaurants. It's like, mate, seriously?
He's one of the ones who goes on about the eco, doesn't he? And then drives a Formula One car and flies all around the world.
100%. I find him intolerable. Yeah. I'd love to watch, who have I put in there? Cole Pilkington.
Yeah, love Cole.
Find him very, very funny. I think I'd put him in. And then I'm kind of stuck. I've obviously want a bit of eye candy in there, so I've gone for Diane Abbott or Priti Patel. I just can't stand either of them. I think Priti Patel is by far one of the worst human beings I think I've heard. And Diane Abbott, she's so thick. And I'm like, how? And it worries me, whatever her constituency is, how people continue to kind of vote for her. I find it incredible. There are some very, very... I mean, Max Verstappen, I don't like either.
I like Max. Big fan.
Not a big fan of Gavin Williamson, like who's resigned a number of times. And the guy who does all the... We're going to glue ourselves to the road leader, Roger Hallam. I'm finding it very annoying that people just kind of think, I've got a great idea, let's just stop all the traffic constantly. But then they drive Range Rovers to get there and they use... It's just like the hypocritical bit is horrendous.
Do you remember the guy went on Talk Radio? And he went...
I know exactly what you mean.
You can't grow concrete. And the geezer goes, yes, you can.
You definitely can. Nick Ferrari speaks better than on Talk.
Because we don't do politics too much on this, because everyone disagrees. But I just don't like any of them. Like, they're just so unlikable politicians. Like all of them. Like literally, Labour, Conservative.
And I wonder, Lee, whether it's just because I'm getting a bit older and having to, and it's been rammed down our throat with COVID and stuff. But have they always been this bad at just Why can't he just answer a simple question? Don't worry. Even if it's opinion fact, I just find it tedious. So that would be my... I'm watching it.
I've got another one I'd like to go in there, but I don't like.
Okay, go on then.
Gary Lineker.
Oh, no.
Well, he's another one of these ones who gets all like, you have to do this, do that, while he sits in his million-pound house. And you know what I'd put in there? Charity shows like Children in Need and Pudsey and all them.
What do you mean? You can't put a TV show in another TV show.
I thought we were kind of going room 101. Do you know what I mean?
No, we're coming to that. Right. That's another show, mate. Because I'd put them in. Pudsey and bloody...
You know what annoys me? Multi-millionaires asking me for money when I'm literally putting... I can't put two pence together. And I've got Gary Barlow singing a song going, please give money. It's like, you give money. You pay your tax, mate. But anyway, we're going...
Well, I mean... I've got a mix-up. Obviously...
Piers Morgan, you put Piers Morgan in there?
No, I haven't done that much. My wife is begging me to put Lorraine Kelly in. She can't stand Lorraine Kelly. Lorraine Kelly, I know, she absolutely can't stand her.
It's like the queen of daytime TV.
If we were putting TV shows in, Loose Women and Loose Men that's coming out, I'd put them both in. I think the whole thing is somewhat annoying. And Paul Ince would go in probably close.
You know one you talk about, eye candy?
Yeah.
An old one I found the other day, she's on Instagram now, Lindsay Dawn McKenzie. Do you remember her?
Went out with Dean Oldsworth.
Set with Dean Oldsworth. Massive knockers. So, yeah, she, I'd have her in there for a bit of eye candy in that shower. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, we've gone slightly more adult. Young viewers and young listeners, please turn away. But to be honest with you, thinking about I'm a Celebrity...
Well, there's going to be a load of lads now who's going to be on Instagram searching Lindsay Dawn McKenzie, I guarantee it.
We apologise to all of the parents of those boys and girls.
She has got OnlyFans, which I only know because of the Instagram. Not
of course. Why else would you know?
Which is a mad thing as well nowadays as well.
But to be honest with you, I think what's been nice is earlier in the season, I probably would have been shouting, I'm a Celebrity, get me out of here, on the terraces. And now,
here
he goes. I know, you've got to make the links. You've got to, it's all about the link, Lee, I've told you this. But it's obviously quite nice, obviously.
Unbeaten.
The Salford game was a little bit weird. Did you watch it?
Yeah, it was boring.
It was a bit of a nothing game. And I felt that after an hour, both teams were like, yeah, we'll take the point, really. I don't know how you felt, though.
Pretty disappointed in Salford. I thought they were one of the favourites to go up. And I know they've got pretty bad home form at the moment.
They didn't look like they could score for Toffee, did they?
They had a chance, the one big chance of the game, where they literally, what, 6-yard box? And he misses quite a sit of the geese. I don't know who it was. We went up there to get the point, which we did. We didn't have to, I don't think we worked overly hard. It weren't like, maybe the Orient took it out of us and... Do you know what I mean? A long travel as well. You ain't going to train much if you're playing against Orient Tuesday, then you're travelling up to Salford on Friday. So, yeah, I was quite happy with the point. We would have took a point beforehand.
Yep.
Disappointed in Salford. Didn't think they offered much at home. Do you know what I mean? And if you're a Salford fan, you've got to be disappointed. Gutted I couldn't go because I've not been Salford and I wanted
I was the same.
Put them in as well, train companies. They're an absolute joke.
Towler goes from strength to strength.
Yes.
He, I thought, was exceptional again.
Played the year?
You know what? He ain't far at all away, in my opinion. That's a really good shout, you know. You don't come up with many good shouts. That was a good one. That is a great next episode one, by the way. I know. I think he's right up there. I think the romance in the Wimbledon fans would nudge towards Curry, but I don't think he's been player of the year.
Young player of the year.
Young player of the year.
Josh Davidson probably played. We should probably have this conversation later on in a month or 2 months' time. But right now, though,
you asked it. I mean, you've dropped the gun, haven't you? Literally. Unbelievable.
But yeah, Towler's looked...
But no, Towler was good. I felt we were solid without being particularly exciting. We did look a little bit leggy, which is why I was quite surprised Hudlin didn't get any more gig time again.
Yeah, he just doesn't rate him, does he? I just don't think he has him. My thing with you is... Some people rate Paul Callanby, some people don't. A run of games has seemed like, with him having no real competition, seems to, now he knows that he's in, kind of seems to have settled him down a little bit. And he's looking like he is a League Two centre back, Paul Callanby.
He definitely is.
And he's looking, I think he looks good. I think, as I said, I'd rather have Taylor in that defensive midfield role. But Pierce looked well off it. We'll talk about Tuesday later. But yeah, he looked well off it again. I know he's only just come back from injury, but. Yeah, I think Paul Callanby is looking good as well.
I think Callanby is fine as long as he gets involved with the physical stuff. The moment we're trying, and again, this is where we spoke about it in our unpopular opinions and stuff, but the way that we're trying to get the ball quicker forward means he hasn't got to try and pass the ball about, pick long diagonals. His job, frankly, should be to defend and give it to Towler.
Yeah.
Defend, give it to Woodyard. Don't be fancy. Don't go corners. But what's interesting is a lot of players and a lot of teams, when we play against us, in particular, when they come against us, they kind of give Callum Bailly a bit of room and they kind of pick up everyone else, knowing that he'll give the ball away.
We missed a sell on Saturday. People that say that
massively.
Do you know what I mean?
Senior was nowhere near, was he?
Nah, and he just gives you that little... He's the bastard that we all love. Do you know what I mean? He is that one that you don't want playing against you, but you love him on your team. He's going to cause issues all day. He's not going to stop running. He's going to be like a wasp. Do you know what I mean? All round.
He's got
a bit of skill and he can put it in the net.
I think the one thing that Asau does, and he is petulant and frustrating, but he does give you tempo. He does give you a bit of urgency, a bit of energy. The crowd get into it. He's fantastic in that. And we did feel, in my opinion, that everyone was looking around thinking, well, where is he? Or where is Ob? And again, let's face it, you could look at any League Two team, you take their best player out from the pitch and go, how are they playing? They're going to struggle. Yeah. And I think he sort of showed, and again, obviously we'll move slowly into Weymouth in that game, just the impact that he has. But I think it's a good point. I don't think we get that point earlier in the season. Back-to-back clean sheets, which I think is exceptional. I know we've got the Weymouth game in between, but I can't really, at the moment, 7 or 8 unbeaten.
I just think it shows, though, Dan, again, what we've spoke about quite a lot on here is the strength in depth. We don't really have it.
Don't have it
so
at all.
So if you have a Sal go or Josh Davison drop out, you're kind of looking and thinking, right, we haven't got really much else to come on. And that's the only disappointing thing at the moment, I think.
Do you think, Lee, honestly, and again, I'm not trying to put like you under the cosh here, is Huddling going to actually play another league game for us, do you think? Or do you think he's literally going to be used as play the trophy, play a bit of this? Because unless with Nathan Young-Coombs coming back, he obviously has got Bartley on the bench, he's got Senior on the bench, he's got Asau. Is there an actual realistic chance that we won't see him apart from the Sutton game?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think we won't see him. I think that's 100%. I think it's the same as Solioldo. Solioldo didn't see him. If you look at how many games he started, 5 games for Solioldo Moors. And then went to Huddersfield because he looked good in a semi-final and a final. Do you know what I mean? Johnny Jackson obviously doesn't rate him. He sees him in training pretty much every week. I know he had his injury. And Josh Davison, the way we play now, it's Josh Davison up front with Asau one side and then...
someone else in it. You want NYC or...
You have Chislett or NYC on the other side, to be fair. And then, yeah, Huddling can't play that role. He's not going to play right or left.
And he can't play on his own. He's got to have someone with him.
Yeah, I think the way we were going to play, maybe he would have suited that role, but unfortunately got injured. We had to change it round. I'd send him back in Jan, or hopefully they'll get him back in Jan. And hopefully... Some people have said about... what's his name? Robinson's doing okay in Scotland.
Yeah.
But is it any point bringing him back if he's going to sit on the bench and only get 20, 30 minutes here and there? Because he doesn't go ahead of NYC at the moment. He doesn't go ahead of Josh Davison. Is it worth him just staying in Scotland for the rest of the season and scoring 20 goals, coming back with loads of confidence, and then NYC goes back to Brentford and we've got now Robinson who's flown up in Scotland?
To be honest with you, I think that's a really, really interesting shout. And I think it all depends on the... where we are in January and the ambition of the club. If the club are thinking, right, we'll have a stab at playoffs here, I think he'll come back and then he'll be involved. If they're thinking, do you know what? No. And it go back a little bit to the conversation we had last week about playing Ogundiri, in your words, and Gondir in mine, and Gunter, playing him instead of Gunter. I think it might be a financial thing where they're thinking, where are we going to get more money? Or are we going to think about offloading him? Because if he has another... If he scores 15, 16, up to 20 goals for Dundee, he will potentially be attracting attention from League One, in my opinion.
Hmm.
It's not. I mean, we know the Scottish Championship is a relatively minor league, but most teams are looking to take a punt at somebody, and he would be somebody who I think wouldn't be particularly expensive.
No, because as I say, we move on, say, to talk about Weymouth a little bit. And I think we said about our squad depth, there's people like Fisher, Bartley, Bender and stuff. They need to go on loan. They need it, mate. Because Fisher, unfortunately, I just don't think he's ever going to be good enough. He's a main striker. He's not a winger. But he's not. If you look at Josh Davison, you look at other players that we've had striker wise, he doesn't even get near talking about.
Wasn't Fisher the one who was released and then brought back in?
Yeah, he went to Hampton and then we. So Robbo came in and he brought him back.
It looked like for me that Fisher was playing against a team and he was at that level. Like I thought Weymouth were good in the first half. I thought they played really well. Obviously, they missed an absolute sitter, hit the bar. They outplayed us in the first half. And then we've clearly had a bit of a rocket. Asau actually decided to stay on side, which was handy. Interesting. Did you read Arash's stat about Asau?
Yes.
Asau was basically offside 29 times, 9 more than anybody else in all of Football League, which is madness. And being 9 more tells you that there's a problem. But
that's
he kept
lot,
onside
yeah.
and he was very good in the second half. Chislett came on, looked very good in the second half. He actually managed to just be... I think Chislett, if we had a Wimbledon five-a-side team, I think he's in it. I think he's dynamic. I think he's quick, sharp, but it's not five-a-side. It's 11-a-side.
My problem with Chislett is that's his level. Conference South.
Do you think?
Well, look, he looks really good against the Weymouths, but he doesn't look that great.
I think he's a definitely he for me. Him and Akalambaye are, you know, if they're a League Two squad member, and if they play, you're not like, oh, Chislett's playing or Kalambaye's playing, but they're not gonna. Chislett, I don't think gets you promoted, but I do think he's a solid player, and he played well, and we had that 10-minute period, played all right. They scored, which is annoying.
The problem we got, as I was going to say to you about a couple of points, was Nick Zanev. Everyone gives Nick Zanev a lot of stick and stuff, but he is miles ahead of Broom, unfortunately.
Yes.
And January, I'd be releasing Broom and Jaskalainen and getting another keeper in to push Nick all the way, because how can you get lobbed standing on your line from a header as well?
You would.
I'm not a professional goalkeeper, mate.
You should be.
And you know, well, I've been told that. But and the other one, I know he's rusty, hasn't played, come back from injury. But the goal, the one they should have scored, where he taps it right in front of them and then they miss. Do you know what I mean? That's poor goalkeeping, that to tap it right back in to the danger zone. You put that wide, you put it out for a corner, and we defend it. But yeah,
he definitely fluffed his lines, I think is the right word, in terms of where he's at. He made a good start stopping. I mean, me and my old man went, and it was he made a good start and made a good save in the first half, used the ball well of his feet, but Zanev's our keeper, I think, for the year. And I guess it goes back to that question, though. He's obviously relatively cheap. Jaskalainen must be relatively cheap. He's a long-term prospect. Wimbledon, what was scary, and this is the real scary thing, Lee, their goalie was our reserve team keeper for League One, and he was just... He was glaringly not, you know, National League South. It was sort of scary that we went down that route and had him. And we knew why we had him, because he was paid, you know, a packet of chips and a Mars bar and expenses. But
With Zaki, I've kind of get it. I kind of get why we did it. He was with the club for training for 7 years, being at Leatherhead and stuff like that. Robbo could trust him. He worked well with Bezo. He's probably a good trainer for Nick.
Yeah, he wouldn't.
Nick, and if anything happened to Nick, we would go out and get a lone keeper in. Do you know what I mean? So I kind of get the. You'd rather put your money in the strikers, but unfortunately, Nick didn't have the greatest season, I don't think, in League One. But another, we'll talk about disappointments. I know people want to hear positives, but negative for me again is George Marsh. I just don't know. I really had high hopes for him when we signed him. He was one of my favorite players in pre-season in League One. And he's just going backwards for me.
He didn't have a great game, I don't think. And again, I feel like the way, and again, I don't think he becomes a bad player overnight. But again, if you're thinking about the way we want him to play, George Marsh doesn't fit. George Marsh does not really fit into a way where we're getting the ball quickly forward. He's not that kind of guy. He wants to get the ball turn pass. He's a Sammy Moore type player. Sammy Moore player wouldn't necessarily.
But Sammy Moore got goals.
Yeah, but George Marsh doesn't go.
That's what I mean. George Marsh ain't going
to
get
goals. He passes
it
on to somebody else. And I feel like he is definitely going to. The change of style. And again, it's like anything. Some change of styles, it suits some players. It doesn't, but it doesn't suit George Marsh. And I think it's a shame. What was interesting / worrying, I haven't heard any news yet. A Sal's injury, is he okay? Curry's injury, is he okay?
I think there was a little bit about Jack Curry, the reason why he went off. I think it was more of a concussion kind of thing.
Okay. But I think Biller was all right. I think he came on and looked decent, quick, crikey.
Really quick. That's why, because I think it'd be interesting.
I think it'd be very interesting with him and Ogundiri now, because I think I would have been like Ogundiri, but my old man was absolutely raving about Billa, and I was watching thinking,
again, my only problem he needs
game time, clearly.
My only problem with that, Danny, again, is you can't judge players playing against a Conference South team.
Oh no, you definitely can't.
And that's where Ogundiri, I give him his due. He's come in against Bradford. He's come in against top League Two, possibly League One oppositions, yeah, and done well.
Yeah,
I can't have people like, even though we've been saying like Marsh had a bad game against them, but do you know what I mean? It's hard to judge because they're Conference South team. They're not a great side in that league.
No, but they played really well. You're not going to know unless he goes and plays. That's what I mean. We never knew unless he played.
But we got four or five players who need to go out on loan, and they're not.
We really do.
Really
badly.
But ultimately,
we've got, and again, it can't be good for their mental health either. But Bartley is just like, not getting any game time. He's sort of stagnating. And in many ways, you might have been better off keeping a Cosgrave and not letting him play, just keeping him on the bench and not playing him, and let Bartley go and get some games.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? And it's kind of that balancing act that if you're wanting to develop a player, is it best to get him out playing games or is it best keeping him close? And I would always rather they played locally. Hampton and Richmond are in the same league as Weymouth, as an example, playing there, but they're training at Wimbledon twice a week and they just pop along and do a bit of, I don't know. I agree.
We would have been better off keeping Cosgrave because he ain't getting in the South End team. He's only coming off the bench for them. So he might as well have stayed on our bench and then we could have got our kids on loan. But yeah,
it's literally, don't you just think it's mental that we have a number of players who we had in our squad at the end of the season and they can't get into teams two divisions below. And Cosgrave played off the bench a number of times in League One. It's like, sheesh.
Yeah, you can't get in Southend's team. But then Southend have hit a run of form, so maybe that's why they've got players who have come in and have taken their chance and Cosgrave didn't. But they dropped him straight out of their team at one point. He weren't even on the bench for a little while. And I think they've had some injuries. But before we move on, I think the positive is we got through. We're in second round. We've got a game, a very tough game against Chesterfield. They're third in the conference, only below Notts County or Wrexham and Notts County. We know what Wrexham are doing. Notts County shouldn't be down there, to be fair. If you look at their 16,000, I think they get a home and stuff like that. But they're in them troubles for a reason. So, yeah, they probably should be down there, actually. And, we've got a winnable game. And if we win that, we're in the third round. And we could then be getting a Newcastle, a Man U, an Arsenal, Spurs. Do you know what I mean? And getting one of the big teams and earning hopefully a few dollars. So.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, we can pick the peanuts out of the poo here, no problem. But ultimately, we've gone through. We played well in the second half. We were well, once we turned it on, they couldn't deal with us. We were much more direct, much more better. There's lots of areas, and particularly in people like Asau, where it's like your decision-making, like his decision-making needs to improve. But we did show that there is a clear gulf in not just class but fitness, and I think that we deserve the win. It's also good, like I said, no matter how much you call it, Cambridge had to go to penalties against Curzon, and that was at Cambridge. Did Hartlepool go out?
No, I think they won on penalties as well.
Fine. So you know what, we'll take the win, save 30 minutes, and the Chesterfield game, like you said, I feel it's probably a 60-40 us, but at the same time, you know, if we lose against Tranmere,
Chesterfield will be looking at it and thinking they can come down and cause an upset.
I mean, that's a great point for them, I think.
But I think that's good for us because they will want to come and play and they'll hopefully pass it about a little bit more than Weymouth were quite direct against us. So hopefully we can get in behind and we'll beat them. But yeah, that's for another day. But we'll move on as we've been waffling on now. And when we come back, we'll be discussing, what are we discussing, Danny?
Whether the pizza trophy has become a big deal for us at the moment.
Yeah. Okay. We'll come back and discuss that.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast, by the fans, for the fans.
And we're back. We're going to be discussing, is the pizza trophy, the EFL trophy, a big trophy for us now? Is it something that we should be taking seriously? I know some people hate it. They're boycott. Kind of got a bit bored with that now, but...
Where do you sit with that, Lee? Well, I mean, let's be honest. I don't think it's fair or right that they enter it. But where are you at with it?
They shouldn't be allowed to enter it. It was a good trophy before, and they have now entered it. People say, oh, it's their way to get B teams into the Football League, which I don't think will ever be the case, or not in my lifetime. I don't think that will happen. It does make me laugh because people who say boycott the EFL trophy because under-23s teams went to Wimbledon versus Liverpool under-23 when they opened Plough Lane. Do you remember the test event?
Yeah.
So that was kind of okay to go to the under-23 game there as a test event, but they won't go and watch it in a pizza trophy, which, you know what I mean? It's all hypocrisy, isn't it? Yeah, they shouldn't be allowed to enter. They do. We get a lot of money from it. You know what I mean? It's 10 grand a win, I think.
Well, I've got the stats here. It's basically all member of clubs in the competition will receive £20,000 participation fee,
yep.
10 grand for a win in the group stage, and 5 grand for a draw.
Yep.
The winners could earn up to $250,000 in prize money. But if you add that in terms of add it on in terms of winning this, winning that, winning the other, it says if your game's on the telly, that's another 20 grand, which is all right. I don't know whether or not. So here you go. Group stage, 10 grand for a win, 5 for a draw. Round two, which is, I presume, what we're in now, 20 grand for a win. Round three, 40 grand. Quarters, 50 grand. Runners up 50, winners is 100 grand. Now, I'm not saying for any stretch of the imagination that it's you know, life-changing, but for a club like us, £250,000 is handy. And if we're going to play, if we play, you know, Sutton United and beat them, and then all of a sudden the next round is potentially before Christmas, because the final, when's the final normally? It's not late, is it?
No, and March, also it's at Wembley as well, so it's a good...
But again, if you think about it, we're in, you know, if you dress it up in the fact that if we beat Sutton, there's a decent possibility. And again, I haven't got an A level in maths, but I have got one in common sense. If you look at the prize money in terms of I think we won two.
See, we're on 25 grand at the moment, 20 grand to announce, that's 45 grand.
Okay.
Plus you beat Sutton, that's 65 grand that we've earned just through.
And then we might, if we have a round through and we win that, that's 100.
And plus any money that you get from gate receipts and bar
money. I just wonder,
probably be, you know, a small amount, but.
It's the way that the club have always done it is it's unbudgeted money. We know we always forecast for the worst. That's a cheeky 100K potentially up. That could be. You know, we're 8th, 9th, 10th, we're going to have a punt at a really good young player, or an older player who is out of contract at the end of the year. We feel like, do you know what, we can get him on a short term. I just wonder, do you feel now with the situation that we're in, do you feel it's a big game and we should take it a bit more seriously, or do you still feel like, you know what, it's Mickey Mouse and we won't?
No, and the thing is, I've never thought it's Mickey Mouse, like playing against under-21 teams, yeah. But when you're playing against Portsmouth, Suttons, things like that, as you said, there's 10 grand up for grabs to win it, 20 grand now if we beat Sutton. Also, it gives you extra games to kind of bed in Bill Ailes and the Bendels and stuff and go, right, here you go, this is your opportunity now so that you can play at this level. Do you know what I mean? Even if they're resting players and stuff like that. Yeah, I've always thought... when you're making up to 100 grand, you have to take it seriously. Also, it's a day at Wembley. Johnny Jackson gets to lead the guys out of Wembley. Do you know what I mean? Everyone wants to play at Wembley. Not many people will probably go if Wimbledon got to the final against, say, a Cheltenham or something like that. But it'd be a good occasion. Do you know what I mean? And as you said, it'd be on the box. That's another 20 grand there. We have to think of the money that we need to make because of the fact that we have debt and we've got bonds to pay. And people turn their nose up. It's like, well, they're not going to pay themselves. And this is why people are now turning around and going, we need outside ownership or outside investment. Well, if we can get 100 grand by just winning a few games in the pizza trophy, do you know what I mean? It's common sense.
Do you feel that if I have a massive issue with the rules on it in terms of you've got to play a certain amount from the game before and this sort of stuff. I feel like if you're a football club and you enter a competition, I wonder if you can not enter it. I wonder if you can say, no, we're not interested in that. And wonder whether people would do it. That's part one of my question. And I guess the other question is, I wonder whether we would take it more seriously if we could do whatever we want. And you can, most teams, they kind of build up with interest as they go, or whether or not, again, if we took out the big clubs with their under-23s, whether it would be a competition that we entertain, and whether actually as a whole, I mean, it's good for money, whether it fits in the modern world with so much football, does it still work?
Yeah, so I kind of get your point regarding, I hate it when you get told what teams you have to play. So, I mean, yeah. You have squads, you have youth teams, you know what I mean? You can put wherever you want in if you think they're good enough or not. They shouldn't be on, if they're not good enough to play in a pizza trophy game, they shouldn't be in your fucking squad in the first place. You shouldn't be at the club. Do you know what I mean? To play at AFC Wimbledon, Arsenal under-23s and stuff like that. I remember playing, did we beat Arsenal? We lost to Arsenal under-23s?
No, we beat Arsenal.
Yeah, well, they had Martinelli playing.
We beat Arsenal and we lost to Chelsea when we got through Wally Downs came down, didn't he?
And Wordsworth got sent off.
That's it. But we beat Arsenal and we were like, wow. But that Saliba played, didn't he?
Saliba, they had Martinelli. So, I mean, these two are two of the best players in the Premiership at the moment. Do you know what I mean? So I kind of get it that it works on that front from an Arsenal point of view, that they've got their kids out to play against men and play in men's football, because unfortunately the game's gone so far now that reserves and under 20, it's just passing for fun where they don't get to play against League Two brutes and big blokes. You know what I mean? When they're playing against the Leeds and stuff like that, where they actually have to fight, they're not used to it when you're playing under 23 football. As long as worst thing that could happen is an under 23 or under 21 team win it. Because then they say, look, this is, you know what I mean?
They haven't got anywhere near winning, have they?
I don't think so. But now I can see a Man City. The problem is when it first started, I think, who was it? It was one team. I think it was a Bolton or something. And they had a 40-year-old goalkeeper on the started.
Well, Tom Huddleston plays for Man United, didn't he?
Yeah, did he? Yeah. See. So it's things like that where they said, oh, it's actually going to benefit the England team. It's like, well, stop lying. This will benefit the England team because young players, for me, when, as we just said, two of the players we just mentioned are the best players in the Premiership at the moment, not English.
Well, this, you know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, they're so, out of the 32, Lee, there's five left, which is Everton.
Yep.
Man United have got Wolves, so they've been drawn together.
Yep.
Which completely doesn't make sense for it's from their angle. Stevenage have got Arsenal. Yeah. And Chelsea have got Peterborough at Chelsea. So they're the only ones left, which I think from a money perspective, I think it's important. And I totally and utterly get why we're doing it. I just wonder whether if they change the format, whether it'd be more interesting. I'd rather be more interested in it's one game. One game match, but higher tariff in terms of the money, get rid of the rule on you've got to play this amount of people and just play right into straight knockout. We're doing regionals and you kind of do like a Super Bowl, the North plays the best of the South rather than this group stage protracted, the weird penalties. I just feel like the product they've got isn't particularly valued by the fans. But I guess maybe it's a numbers thing. Maybe only having League One and League Two is a bit.
You look at the teams that are left in it. I don't know who's left in the Northern Quarter, but the Southern Quarter, you've got Peterborough, Stevenage. Stevenage are flying this year. They'd love to get to Wembley and then get promoted through from the into League One. That'd be a great season. Steve Evans would then tell people to shut their mouths about their opinions on him and his management. Do you know what I mean? Peterborough would love to get there as well. Can you imagine Wimbledon versus Peterborough in the final? I think that'd be quite a good
day. Big one. Plymouth are there, Charlton are there, Portsmouth are there, Bristol Rovers are there in the Northern one. There's, again, some really decent clubs. Port Barnsley, Bradford, Bolton.
That's what I mean. We get Bradford at Wembley. They'll sell 20,000. We won't get the 25 that we had previously, but they'll sell quite a few thousand down there. So, yeah, it's a good day. I get your point. I'm not overly keen on the under-23 or under-21 teams being in it. They are. We've got to kind of move on, I think, now from it. As I said, I don't think they'll ever get into the Football League. People say that that's their route into it, but I can't see it. We're not like foreign leagues, like, as I said, Germany or Spain and stuff like that, where they've got under-23. Because, you know me, I watch a bit of German football, and it's quite funny. You know, obviously, the World Cup's going on now.
Yeah.
There's a regional league which has got some big teams in there, like playing 25,000 all seat. So they play probably about conference level.
Okay.
Schalke have got an under-23 team and are doing quite well in that league. Three of the players that play for Schalke's first team, obviously they've gone on it, will be playing in the couple of games that they've got over before the winter break out there, will be playing for their under-23s against regional teams. So it's like, do you know what I mean? So that's where I don't think we will ever have that over here, because can you imagine Man City, like Haaland now plays for their under-23 team against Wimbledon in League Two. Man City. Do you know what I mean? I just can't see that ever happening. I just don't get how that ever happens in my lifetime. But yeah, I think it's an important tournament at the moment, especially mainly for the money, Danny. We need money, and we can't keep turning up our nose for 20 grand just because people don't like the format of the tournament.
I mean, the round ends on the 30th of November. Yeah. So there's a possibility that there's an, that you might get us might sneak around in before. Let's have a look, round of 16. You might get a round, you might get the possibility of getting that chance to pick up a bit of dosh. I'll tell you when it starts, the 4th of January.
There you go.
So last year was the 4th of January, which is just after the new year, start of the window. Again, you'd be fascinating, wouldn't it? And again, it's one of those things as well, like we speak about before, around is it important or is it not? Could you imagine it if they're looking and going, right, we win this game. We've got 100, you've got 100 grand Arsenal. You've got a good player, Danny Hilton, or whoever else you want to label that we were into before.
Well, that's if we
there's
get
a chance
drawn
of getting it.
That's if we get drawn against Arsenal, though.
No, but what I mean is if we win, just do one, will you? If we get that opportunity where we can, like, right, we could nick a decent tie and it's 50 grand on the line and we nick it and all of a sudden that half decent player becomes available. I don't know. I just wonder whether or not. I always feel like the group stage is a waste of time and everyone's kind of, if we go
it
out,
it depends
great,
on where you're
if
in
we
the
don't,
league.
We don't. Well. And then, yeah, like I said, if you go through, you don't.
If we're pushing towards the playoffs a little bit by then, you think, right, that's player for money. If you're not, you think, right, we'll put that 100 grand away. We need that 100 grand to pay bonds. Do you know what I mean? We've got bonds to pay back very soon. Do you know what I mean? We've got debt coming out of our eyes. So, yeah, we might have to put that towards the debt. And do you know what I mean? We've got a squad at the moment that's going to keep us in League Two so we can go again next year. And we'll see. Especially
after
if
all
cup,
of this so. Rabbiting on, in a word, is it an important cup now for us?
Yes.
Okay.
You?
Yep, agreed.
No.
Crikey, right. That's worrying.
Okay.
Right, should we just end the whole podcast now then? That's it. We've agreed on something. We'll move on.
When we come back, we'll be discussing Danny Macklin and his to-do list.
The Wombles had a dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
And we're back and we're going to be discussing Danny Macklin's to-do list. Danny Macklin's been in the job now for, I think it's 2 weeks. 2 weeks. And so we're going to discuss what we think he should be, we think his to-do list should be. And hopefully it's on point. I had a bit of a thing on Facebook the other day, Dan, and Twitter saying I was a bit shocked. I know, I think something's coming out next week. I'm not 100% sure what the club are doing because people said stay here, like be... it's going to be good when it comes out. I just thought it was a bit bad that 2 weeks in the job, I don't know if this was Danny's call or not, but we haven't had any interview with him or anything from the club. No, we don't know what he sounds like, unless you've met him at the club, which I think he goes around the fan zones, he's walking around, he's quite approachable. But if you can't get to games at the moment, you can't really speak to him. I thought it would have been nice just to have a little bit, just to introduce him to the fan base, do you know what I mean? But that might be his call because he might be so busy that he thinks, I don't really want to have any distractions at the moment.
I think it's tricky. I mean, anyone who starts a new job, it does take time to get your head around it and get to grips of what's going on. And I'm not particularly concerned at the moment regarding him not speaking out about what he's doing, what's going on. But I think what will be interesting is in a couple of weeks, once he's had a bit of time, it'll be interesting to know. Again, we're talking about, you know, the to-do list of what he could or couldn't be doing. It'll be interesting to see what small changes, even like today, they've made a small change around. If anybody wants to contact the club in any way, there's an inquiry thing, you go straight there. Just a simple thing. I'm not saying that's him, but I'd be very surprised if he wasn't involved to say, look, we need to connect better. So if anyone wants anything, because it is quite convoluted, you've run from the club, it's no one's fault, but you can't answer it. I mean, whether that's something that he does, I don't know, but I'm sure we'll get a flavour of the things that he's into and what we're interested in knowing about. And I'd be amazed if by the time we get to, what is it, the next home game, Grimsby at home, we don't get more information about it.
I do wonder if that is him, because I think that he's had feedback that maybe potential businesses or potential people that want to spend money at the club have tried to contact us, tried to send emails or get in the phone and not being able to contact us at all, and then gone, well, I really can't be asked anymore, I'll go somewhere else. Do you know what I mean? I hope that ain't the case, but yeah, it's just weird how to now put that one inquiry in that, and you'll get a kind of response back. But you went to the game on Tuesday against Weymouth. I saw there was massive queues to get in. There was only one turnstile. I do understand though that Danny did pick up on this. He was around and saw it, and I don't think he was overly happy with it. Also know that he goes around the fan zones and he's not been, again, this is just what I've heard, so I don't know if it's true with him, but he's not been overly happy with the queues at the bars and stuff, because obviously that's money that we're losing if people can't get served drinks at halftime or after the game and stuff. So, yeah, and also with the queues getting into the game, yeah, you want people in spending money. That's why you know what I mean? So,
well, the thing that was really weird as well was when leaving the ground, they didn't just go open up. Like, I mean, I come in when we come from Tooting, so I think I can't remember what gate it is, but where it's got the big AFC Wimbledon thing with like the grass.
Yeah, the east stand entrance.
Whatever that is. So basically, when you normally, with the way me and my dad come in, we go in and then to the right is the kids' zone and to the left, you go all the way to the pub.
Yeah.
And what they've done is they didn't open that door. They just opened the gate to the right to go in. So the queue was getting quite long. But the worst thing about it is when you're leaving the ground, there's still only one of these doors open. And that's the same one that you come in. Rather than just open that door and go, everyone filter out, spell out, go. So everyone's kind of bottlenecking in. And it's just, again, it's just those unnecessary things. Again, stuff like my mates now, while I can't be bothered to go and get a pint. Why can't you just get a guy who is like they do at the tennis, they do at the wimble, at the cricket. You got the guy, the thing on his back, you want a pint? There you go, mate. Cheers. Cheers. I mean, maybe it's too easy. Maybe it's too cost effective. I feel like we're losing money, a lot of money there. And again, very similar to, you know, Venus, who I go to, he goes to like my pint, gets food. Food queues are mental.
Yeah.
Like men, it seems like a real mental queue system that I wonder whether there's a way of making it easier,
especially on a Tuesday night day, like a midweek game, because most people are going to be coming from work and stuff like that. They've not eaten and they go, right, I'm going to get something out of the ground, I'm going to get a Mai Pie or something like that. And the food trucks are obviously paying quite a bit to be there. They want to be making as much money as possible as well. So yeah, I just don't get it. But one of the things I've heard, which again, on as you said there, regarding,
you've heard a lot, haven't you? You've got good ears.
It's on Facebook mainly, and it's to-do list is sorting out the people that work behind the bar, behind the jump, not the bar, sorry, because that's wrong, because it's a pub, isn't it? Behind the
kiosks.
Well, yeah, the kiosks at the it's concourse, but we haven't really got a concourse. The kiosk, because Colin Shergold raised this a couple of times on Facebook, and he kind of got shot down, but that's because of Colin raising it, and not many people have an opinion with Colin, so they don't really like him, so they kind of poo-pooed it straight away. But there's people taking cash. So if you go to get a couple of drinks and it's like 15 quid, they'll go, we'll take a tenner cash, and they kind of pocket it.
Can't be that, surely.
Seriously, that's been happening, Danny. It's been happening. It's been raised a couple of times. It happened again on Saturday. No, that was away. Was it Tuesday? It was a game. Someone else raised it on there the other day and tagged Colin in. And someone said, you need to speak to the club. Again, that would be for me. Danny needs to be looking at people that are working at the club and going, because we're a cashless stadium. So you shouldn't have to pay cash. Because I remember trying to get a bottle of Diet Coke and I only had cash on me. Lucky enough, I had my bank card. But yeah, I'm a tax driver, and so I only carry cash. Exactly. So I went to pay cash. They went, no, it's card. But yeah, apparently there's a thing going, like, look, it's a tenner cash instead of £12.
I mean, that is bonkers, isn't it? And that's a criminal offence. And it just seems ridiculous. I just can't. It's just weird. And again, I don't really understand it, but that is definitely on that kind of behaviour is on his to-do list. What else do you think, mate, is on his to-do list?
Just figuring out how the ground kind of work, how we're going to use the space that we've got currently. Is there more we can do regarding the hospitality? Because I think what they've done really well, and I don't know if this is, because I know it was Niall who done the German stuff with regards to Oktoberfest, which people loved. I thought that was a really good idea. With the World Cup, have you seen that we're selling tickets, and I know a load of people that are going to watch the World Cup at the game, so we've sold, I don't know how much it was, but I know a few of my mates have got tables down at the grounds.
I know I'm going to watch on the Grimsby game is when England are potentially got the last 16 game,
but that's going to be the night before. If we win the group, we play the night before, we play on a Friday,
but our game's been moved for 12:30 because the games are at 3.
Yeah, but
on that walk, if we finish second, we potentially could be playing on that Grimsby at 3 o'clock.
Yes.
That's why the game got moved,
Yeah, but I still think we're going to be playing on the Friday night.
Okay, happy days.
But yeah, that's, I think at the moment, is how we maximise our revenue.
Okay.
With regards to,
and I think that's a really interesting one because we've got loads of the Broncos situations. Obviously, always sounds a bit worrying because they're not particularly good, and I don't know how busy it is. And then when you talk about when they talk about right, you know, we need to get 6,000 to sort of break even, and then you're renting out to the Broncos. You feel like you've got to kind of earn a decent wage, but you've got like Lerone Richards, who's world champion boxer. Be great to get an event there. It's a great beer festival place, isn't it? The Concourse.
Yeah, sorry. I've just found it. It was on the 8th of November. Someone put the bar staff were taking discounts for cash in the rye stand. Same as West. So, yeah, there's people doing that. Was on the Facebook, AFC Women Facebook group. No, your point there regarding Lou, I'd like to see us do more kind of question, what are they called? Evening with.
You say question time one more time on this podcast.
An evening with. So an evening with Dave Anderson.
An evening with Peter with.
But no, an evening with Dave Anderson and Terry Brown. You sell tickets, you have a bit of food. You know what I mean? People go down there and they ask questions to Dave Anderson. You hear the stories. You know what I mean? We could do an evening with anyone, really. Maybe even some comedy nights down there. We've got some great comedy comedians who sport Wimbledon. What's his name? Walshy Walsh, who came on the podcast as well. Do you know what I mean? Jeff Norcott. Yeah, get people like...
The thing with those things, Oli, it's an event, but it's not a huge earner. And I think this is the problem. Is that
one night on a Saturday night, we've got so much room in that silver suite. Don't get used enough, right? Women, I think we're going to be starting to use it now, but there is suites there, Danny. We need to finish off one of the floors that still ain't finished. I don't think we've got the money to finish it, but they need, why not on a Saturday night say, right, there's going to be a comedian's going to be in the bar, in the pub. Do you know what I mean? At 8 o'clock, and then people will stay around. They'll spend more money at the ground, get a bit of food, and then
I don't disagree with you at all. But we are those kind of events. They're not huge earners, and I think they're good for trickling. They're good for like a little bit there, grand there. But I think the club are looking at how can they punch when the ground isn't used at all. So opening it up for a conference or whatever when it's not, when on a match day you kind of got your audience, you're just asking for supplementary, you're talking about, you know, a fresh event. But I do think that, and I totally agree with you, I think that's an area where he's got to look at. I think it's also going to be interesting for him. One of his big challenges is to convince the fans of the club where we're going and how we're getting there, because that number of fans, and I think that, you know, I feel frankly the whole conversation around fan ownership and selling and stuff is around the fact that we've got a £10 million debt which we own to fans in general, but that's going to keep coming and that's not going to stop. And what are his plans to kind of secure our immediate future in League Two, because at times we've looked shaky. How are we going to be able to punch harder in the future, because frankly we will have got aspirations to be higher up. How are we going to attract new fans and keep them? I mean, we went to the game on Tuesday, me and my dad, two guys in front of me, openly Arsenal season ticket holders, where they were like, we live in Morden. And I was like, and he was like, you know, I come to a few of the games. And I was like, to be honest with you, you're our audience right now. You are our target audience. Hmm. I've got four kids at school. They're Chelsea fans and Fulham fans. And they got season tickets to Wimbledon because it's easy to get to. It's round the corner from their house. And frankly, at 10, 11, 12, I'd never thought I'd go to work. People start talking about, what do you think about Zane? What do you think about Asau? He's good. Where could he go? It's brilliant for me as a football fan, actually being able to talk to boys at my school who are coming in with Wimbledon scarves. It's epic. But it's just a case of how are we going to, where we've kind of gone through the whole, we're going to back the manager, we're doing this, we're championship in 5 years, all this nonsense. I wonder whether there's a reboot coming and how he... What's his role in that?
I was just about to say to you, we need to maximize sponsorship as well, because again, you know, like we said before, it's just, we said what changed when the same people were in the same jobs, but it's like sponsorship. Cherry Red Records could be paying us £1 million a year. We don't know that. Do you know what I mean? But it's Cherry Red Records again, from King's Meadow to, you know what I mean, to Wimbledon, which is great. They sponsor. Thank you very much. Do you know what I mean? But we need to be going out and getting massive sponsors that are going to, do you know what I mean, put money in. It's like what's they called? The football manager people that Sports Interactive. They've been there since day one. Brilliant. As long as they're putting in money, if we can go and get £1 million, then we're going to have to say, look, sorry, Sports Interactive, you've been brilliant for us. We really appreciate what you've done over the last, what, few years, since day one, but we need to now start maximizing all our money, and we can get 5 million sponsorship here from Colgate, or do you know what I mean? Like, and
okay.
No, just when I just looked in the bathroom, so
of all the people, we could go, yeah, Colgate.
But do you know what I mean? It's brilliant that these people sponsor us. We really appreciate it. We thank them. But if you, again, if you listen to TalkSport and you listen to people like Simon Jordan, you can't just, because they've done you favors and stuff in the park, we have to make money. Yeah. We have to, do you know what I mean? And
The other thing I'd be really interested in, Lee, I don't know where you sit. I'm fascinated to know how long the expectation is for the bank to go, for the balance to go to zero. And then we can start earning. Because obviously we've got a lot of debt, blah, blah, blah. I wonder what the plan is in terms of how long it would take in a worst case scenario, or we're in league, we have the same season. How many Groundhog Day years do we need to get to, okay, we're going to pay this off? And I know we're going to talk a little bit about gold mines and stuff later on, but it'd be fascinating to know what he's got.
We can't keep relying on the fact that we're going to have the SLs, the Radonis, the Jack Currys coming through.
Yeah. Do you know
what I mean? Because there might be a season or two where we get nothing coming through that we can't sell, which we did have when we were AFC Wimbledon. We had a couple coming through and they did end up just didn't go where we wanted them to go. But it's a massive job for Danny McLean because he has to come in. He has to find money to then go towards the budget. Plus, we've got debt to pay. So he needs to now come in.
They're talking about the training ground getting done.
Yeah,
so you add that in the mix as well, and all of a sudden it's like Jesus. There's a
lot of you talk about new fans and stuff like that. This is where I think the politics kind of goes against us a lot. Like again, we've gone over the Donstrass elections quite a bit previously, but you go on the Pro Bowls or you do look at the Donstrass election and you disagree with someone. Oh, mate, it's a nightmare. And it's that some people just don't want to be involved in politics. Some people don't want to be owners of football clubs. They want to go and watch a football club. They want to moan about it in the pub after to their mates. Do you know what I mean? You always got the one person who is ultra positive, who thinks everything's blue and yellow, and then you've got people like me who just moan for the sake of it. You know what I mean? Because I love it. But yeah, I think that's where Danny Macklin's got such a tough job. He's got to come in. There's a fractious fan base, I believe. They're close to civil war, which we said before. Do you know what I mean? We're in a heated elections now where people want to either sell the club on fan ownership. Do you know what I mean? There's no grey areas with regards
to that. There's definitely momentum for change, isn't there?
Yeah, and he has to come in and he has to maximise all revenue streams to go to Johnny Jackson. Here's a competitive League Two budget, because I don't say we finish mid-table this year. I think people probably could take that on the chin. But next year, I think we need to then be going, right, what is the plan? Where are we heading? Are we just going to stagnate in League Two now, which some people will be happy with? Do you know what I mean? Or, as I said to you before, do we become a yo-yo club, go up and down League One and League Two? Or do people want us to be pushing towards that championship that they said in 5 years? But I don't really want to stagnate in League Two, if I'm being honest, because it's a tough
one. The one thing that's interesting is that he seems to be a modern day kind of leader on the fact that a bit more McCanty, a bit more public facing. He's very happy to be on your debrief. Our debrief.
He's not been on it. He listens, so he does.
No. But yeah, it's visible. You can see that he's on.
Yeah, he's there.
He could quite easily not be on it and just record it and listen to it after. He's watching it, listen to it live, which is interesting. Yeah. The fact that he's been quite visible, he's been on Twitter talking about different things and showing that he's keen to be visible. Again, Joe Palmer, you saw him in the program and the odd bit on the club, but you didn't see much about him. He's the kind of guy who looks like he seems relatively personable, looks like he's happy to have a conversation, which I think will do him well.
I think if you see something that you think, like, if we saw something we didn't like Danny and we said to him, look, Macklin, we don't like this, I think he'd probably tell us a reason why it's been done. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? If we say he went to no bars or something and it was only them people walking around and people were like, what, no bar? And he'd be like, well, yeah, because it's costing us this amount just to have five people walk around with by where, yeah, I mean, I'm just, that's just saying,
no, and like I said, one day, I think we can have a bit of a conversation.
I think he will. I think he will. If you said to him, look, why have you done this? I think he'd give you the reasons behind it. You might not like him, but he's going to say, this is the reason why I've done it. Do you know what I mean? I think, again, like you said last with guys like Johnny Jackson, how we got to back him now. I think we just got to, I think that's why he's coming. As I said, I think maybe that's the reason why nothing's been done with the club. It might have been his idea just to get in, see everything fresh. What I don't like, though, is all the brown nosing you see on Twitter of some people that are in jobs at the club and they're like, hello, boss, and all this. It's like, mate, drop me out. Do you know what I mean?
Tag me out, please.
Some of you are probably part of the problem and you should be gone as well.
But like you said before, it's positive to know that we've got someone who is new with a bit of energy, who's got a bit of pedigree in doing it. I think it sounds like a relatively good appointment for us. And let's give him the room and the space to, let's not get on his back too early. Let's just let him do it and see where we go.
Have you done hospitality at the game yet?
No.
See, I think we need to do it. I really want to do a hospitality package to see what it actually is like and see what you actually get and see if it's actually worth it. Okay. Do you know what I mean? Because I'd like to, I think I might have to do one. So, because I'd like to see what we actually do with regards to hospitality and how much money we're making from it, like the boxes as well. I think we might see some of them being sold like sponsorship boxes as well. So some company has it for a year, they pay us whatever it is, and then, do you know what I mean? They can use it throughout the year. Do you know what I mean? The company can take and wine and dine people, especially where we are in Wimbledon. You think with the tennis and stuff like that, you sell a box to someone and they come in and, do you know what I mean? Hopefully he'll be a little bit more approachable than the club have been previously.
And the one thing that we all know is that we're in a relatively affluent area.
Yes.
In terms of, we're in an area where there is a little bit of money floating about. We're in a place which is one of the prime locations in London. Wimbledon SW19 is a lovely place, great big houses, good buildings, good businesses that are set up there. We're in a nice area to potentially to grow. And I think that we've got a nice clean stadium, which looks quite good. I think it's a good stadium. I'm not saying it. I think it's got, you know, I think it's got potential to be bigger. And again, I think it for league two, I think you're going to struggle to find three or four better stadiums than ours. If you look through the whole league, I'm going to look through the whole league now, I don't think you're going to find more than five stadiums that I feel that could compete with us.
I can give you six.
All right.
Well, no, sorry, I thought we were playing one of them games. You know where you
No, play. So Barrow won't be any good. Hartlepool, no. Bradford will be all right. Northampton's great.
Lane Orient.
No, it's not better than ours.
Yeah, well, it's.
You got the tube.
If you ask an Orient fan, I think he'd probably say it is. Because okay.
Colchester? Yeah,
it's not. The problem with Colchester is it's in the middle of nowhere. So it's not in the town.
Doncaster's was decent.
Doncaster's decent.
Yeah, that was all right. But Grimsby, no. Stevenage, no. Harrogate, no. Mansfield was rubbish. Newport, no.
Mansfield, terrible. Again, Mansfield fans would say Mansfield's probably better than
Mansfield's only got three sides, mate.
Yeah, but they're massive sides. It's a massive step ground. No, I'm not having that.
Salford was pants. Carlisle, no. Stockport is...
No, because you've got fine. It's not.
St United, no. Rochdale, no. Swindon...
Rochdale's not a bad ground, man, to be fair to him.
Swindon?
Swindon's a good old ground as well. It's a big old ground.
No, it's got one stand crew. Tram is big.
Tramier, yep, they've got good. Walsall, it's very small inside and Crawley.
So I feel like in the state, across, I think we've got one of the better.
I'd say we're top five.
Yeah,
I said I'd probably have Bradford above us. Tramier, only on the size of it. I remember playing at Tramier, and it ain't great hospitality or change room wise. It's not very nice and good. Food wise, again, Orient. I do like Orient's ground. I do like the fact that it's quite big. They've got the big old new main stand in the middle of London. Again, not a nice part of London, but it's still coming up and stuff. But yeah, I make you right. But anything else on that to do list that you think he'll be looking at and thinking?
I think, like I said, I think he'll be looking at how we can pay the debt off as quick as we can, how we can engage with the fan base to sort of harmonise what we're doing, how we can make the match day experience as good as it possible. I'm basically just talking about his job, to be fair. The other thing which would be interesting, again, I don't know which areas, because I should know more about it, which areas he kind of interacts with. I'd be interested to see how high up that list is the training facility from his perspective. Right up there? I don't know.
I'd like to know who is above him, so to speak. Who does he report to?
Okay.
Who is he reporting his KPI? Is it just Mike Buckley? Because I don't think the Donshaw's board, he doesn't report to the Donshaw's board.
Okay.
So there was kind of a bit of a contradiction the other day on something Chris Stewart said regarding that the MD doesn't report to the Donshaw's board, but then the Donshaw's board kind of agreed the budget, the, you know what I mean, the players' budget, which, do you know what I mean, you think they'd go hand in hand, the MD,
gets this amount of money, this goes to the budget, this goes to the debt kind of thing. But yeah, I'd like to know who he kind of reports into, because I think with Joe, he kind of did whatever he wanted in the end, as we could see with the recruitment 100%. Last yep. year, do you know what I mean, and stuff. Okay, he done really well on Plough Lane and getting that bat, and people like Matt Halo working the club shop, so he was brilliant for him. But yeah, the recruitment side of it was an absolute joke.
Where's he now, Joe Palmer?
Not sure, mate. Not sure. I don't know. Not paid much attention to Joe once.
No,
see you later. Bye bye.
Good morning. Here we go.
So the recruitment, it was him, Daniels, and Robbo. And it's like, wait a minute, you're the CEO. Why are you on? Who are you going to report to if it's bad? Which it was. But yeah. I don't know where
he's a football club CEO / internet. Well, he's basically just talking about, he's a football consultant and advisor, which basically means that he's not doing anything.
Right. Okay. Anything else you want to add on that before we move on?
No, let's talk about gold mines.
Okay. We'll come back and we'll be discussing players that have left and we could be making some money off still. And the players we've got in the current squad that could make us money at, say, possibly January or the end of the season.
The Wombles had a dream podcast by the fans for the fans.
So we're back and we're going to be discussing what we call gold mines. So these are players that have left and we could still make some decent money from, or the players that we currently have at our disposal that we could sell and make money on. So I'll go first, Dan, with my one. I think it's going to make us the most money that we've ever made. Okay. Matt Cox.
Yeah. I mean, so give some context. We don't have a clue in terms of the actual amount of money, but knowing the way that Wimbledon operate, you would think that we would be, minimum we'd want is a 10%. And I think we would get anything between 10% and 25, I'd say, as an estimate.
Yeah, if most clubs who are smart probably would have 25% on most of the players we probably mentioned. We all know that Wimbledon, as we said earlier, recruitment wise under Joe and stuff, we'll probably have to pay them money if he makes, do you know what I mean? If Matt Cox plays one game for England, we have to pay them £1 million or something. That's how stupid we are sometimes. But yeah, Matt Cox, I'm hoping it's in the 20% range. I also think that he'll go to a Man United or a Newcastle and he'll go for £30 odd million plus.
Well, I'm just doing a little calculator here. And we are speculating. So just to be absolutely clear, we're speculating. I'm just going to say everyone on 10%, right? And we'll kind of go for it. You're saying that Cox is worth how much you reckon he'll go for?
I just think, why did Brentford give him a 6-year contract? Do you know what I mean? They can see something in the kid. He's signed a 6-year contract recently.
Oh, hello.
After about a season of him being at Brentford. Yeah. And I just see when David De Gea goes, or he might go up to Newcastle under Nick Pope for a little while, and everyone knows how much money they've got now. So, fine.
Well, I've been conservative. I reckon he'll
go above, I'd say, Pickford money. When Pickford left Sunderland to go to Everton, it was 30 million. I reckon around about 30, 40 million pounds.
Fine. Well, I've put him down as a conservative 2 million pounds.
What that we'd receive?
Yeah. Yeah, take tax, you know, our fee for being brokers, yeah. We're bigging him up on air. Okay. Well, obviously, the next one I will be bringing up is Rodoni.
Yeah, we won't get
Rodoni. Well, hold your horses, pal. Hold your horses. Championship player. Yes, they are bottom or near the bottom. He's had some decent, a little bit of decent traffic. But like you said, if he's going and he is sold, I don't think he goes more than a couple of million at most. And I would say for him, I reckon the club might pick up 200 grand as a very conservative. He has a really, let's be optimistic rather than pessimistic. I think he'll do well. He'll be quite competitive and someone will go championship. He's been busy. He's been doing all right. He's worth a couple of million. I don't want to go on to one of these. I am going to, obviously, because I'm complete loser. But I'd be fascinated to where how much money he's potentially worth as an individual. I don't know. But he is my next one, Rodoni. And I'm saying we could possibly pick up a couple of 100,000 if we get lucky.
No chance. He'll end up in League One probably with Huddersfield next year. Apparently he's doing all right at Huddersfield. They don't mind him up there.
His market value is £1 million.
Yeah, right. So
I've gone lucky.
I just think he'll end up back in League One. He's a League One footballer. He's a good League One footballer. I just can't see him going above that. And yeah, I don't think we'll get much money for him. I've got two, but I can't remember their names though. So this is a bit awful, isn't it? We sold one to Rangers in the summer. He played in a cup game for Rangers the other week. Oh, I forget his name. And another kid we sold to Wolves. I'm hoping that we didn't just give them away. They were...
So Archie Stevens.
That's the one, the Scottish. Yep, he went to Rangers.
Yep, he went to Rangers. He's 16.
Did he go on a free or did we sell it? Was it under closed?
It's an agreement was being made for an undisclosed fee.
There you go. And hopefully we've got a sell-on clause because I think he will be big for Rangers in a couple of years. I think he's only 16, isn't he? I think you said there.
Yep, 16. And the other one who's obviously went to Wolves is Leon Chiwomi.
Yeah. Did we sell him again or was it because you never
sold
know?
Again. Yeah. It's an undisclosed fee. And you've got to imagine that those guys going, you're going to have the opportunity to for us to be able to negotiate. I presume if they're going to Wolves or going to Rangers, there are going to be other people to be interested. So as an example, if we were talking to every million that we sell a player for, there's a possibility of us picking up 100 grand. Two 16-year-olds, one in the Scottish Premier League, one in Wolves. Let's imagine one flops because he's 16. And let's imagine one does all right. For the two of them, what would you reckon would be a fair possible $250,000?
I reckon more, man. I reckon, yeah, it's a tough one because, as you said, they're both 16, so they could grow quicker. They might not make it. Tough leagues to break into. Well, Rangers ain't a tough league to break into. It's a tough team and tough club to break into, same as the English Premier League. But, yeah, I just think if we're selling two players who are 16 for undisclosed fees, they're a bit special. And clubs, you know what I mean? They don't, especially clubs like Rangers and Wolves.
Yep.
It's not like they've gone to Chelsea or Man City. I have just thought of another one straight off the bat there as well.
I've got him written down, Leo Castledine.
Yeah, I think he's going to be big as well. Yeah, you don't go after kids like that if they're not you don't have plans for them to make it in a good few years.
And the one thing as well, though, Lee, as well with that because they're playing at Rangers and Wolves, the likelihood is that people are going to come in for them.
Yes.
Someone like Chelsea, Leo, that like there's a possibility if he does bomb, they'll just bomb him out because they've got loads of players.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of the players for Chelsea, they don't necessarily receive huge amounts of money for players that they sell who are domestic. They normally go big international players. So I've put a conservative 300 grand from you.
I'd say that because
two lads. And Castledine, what do you reckon? A bit more?
The two young lads I mentioned, I think, yeah, you probably think 2 million a piece if they say, even if they get bombed out. I remember there was a player at Rangers recently who went to Birmingham. He was awful and they sold him to Birmingham for like £1.5 million, I think.
But remember though, we got Dan Xhaka from Wolves. So just remember that. We picked him up from Wolves and that's...
Yeah, but that's true. But I reckon, I reckon that. And then Leo, excuse me. Leo, I think we could make decent money on because, again, you're hoping that, again, you're just saying 10%, but you're hoping that we're sensible enough to go, right, if he plays one cap for England, we get 100 grand, sorry. Yep. If he plays 10 games, we get £1 million. Do you know what I mean? We're hoping we're sensible enough to do that kind of thing. And that's, again, another thing that Danny Macklin might have say in stuff like that with regards to when players leave. But Leo's meant to be doing really well at Chelsea. They're big, big fans of him. And he's
representing England under 15, under 16, captain under as well. 17. He also appeared in the UEFA Youth League, making his debut.
Again, you've got to remember there is player. If you look at 10 years ago, the England team that would be now from the players then, I think it's only Phil Foden is actually doing anything. Some of them, like, remember Casper, who is it? Who was the old goalkeeper at Man U? Remember Casper? Was it Casper? Something like that. Not the friendly ghost, the other one. But yeah, there was, and they predicted him to be in the England team in 10 years' time. And he I think he retired or.
They've got people, you know, that group though, they had, didn't they have Adamola Lookman? Didn't they have Sancho? They had Foden. They also had, who's the other guy? I literally had in my head, and I've just gone now. Emil Smith Rowe, all that lot were in that group. But I know what you mean, because there were some of them who were like, oh, they're playing. No, they're terrible.
Yeah, they're playing non-league.
Okay,
stuff
so now, but... let's top up. Let's go crazy.
I've got one more as well, quickly.
Okay, before we come to our players, yeah, at the moment.
Yeah, one more that's left who could, we forgot about. He's another goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Joseph Berzic.
Okay.
At Stoke. Stoke were, I think the last time someone was talking about Berzic, they were talking about 30 million for him then as well.
And he went directly from us to Stoke, yeah?
Yes. And who's the keeper that was at Stoke before him and went to Palace? He was like, everyone was raving about him playing for England and everything.
Wimbledon or from them? Butland.
From Stoke. Butland, that's it. Everyone was raving about Butland. He was going to play for England. He was going to be the next big thing. Joseph Berzic went now. Didn't look great. Put a bit of muscle on there and looks like a decent keeper.
Okay.
And he's another one I think could make us money. I think we could be making 50 million from the players we just talked about.
Are you joking?
Joseph Berzic.
No, we're not going to make 15 million.
50.
They're going to be...
50.
Yeah, but no, we'll make 5.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No, they'll make 50 million.
Well, I've put a conservative 3 million for, and again, I'm not being stupid enough to feel that this is actually going to happen. But even if half of it came, that would be huge for Cox, Radoni, Castledine, Leon Chiuomi, Archie Stevens, Berzic. Going on to then our players.
So that's 5 million, I think we could make there.
3 million.
Right.
You're going to say 5. I'm Mr. Realist. I'm the one who's got, you need to get your calculator
100 million.
Out. Unbelievable. So obviously, I've looked at the three main players who could potentially, as it stands, I'm not looking at other people, but I'm looking at Bendor, Sal and Curry.
Yeah, they're the only three I've got at the moment.
Are probably the three main players. Bendor heavily linked with everyone. Ben Asau been linked heavily with Championship.
Asau,
and Curry.
Asau I can see because he was very good in League One.
Right now, where would you okay, quick question. I'll same question for Dad. Asau or Radoni? Asau is going to go in the summer and he's going to probably go to a half-decent club. In 2 years' time, who's going to be playing at a better club, Radoni or Asau?
Asau.
Yeah,
I can see Asau going to like a QPR.
I said that exact club. I said QPR, Millwall, a team that's quite physical, quite quick, quite direct.
The only thing that lets him down is his size. Could you see him playing in the Premier League?
No.
No, he's quite, I can't.
But he has got lots of raw ingredients, but he is still petulant. His decision-making can be poor. His offsides are pathetic, but he's 20. And I think that he'll play the end of this year. He's scored goals in League One. He's scoring goals in League Two. If he has a season without a huge amount of injuries and eases up on the suspensions, I think he gets a good gig in the summer. I would wish him all the best.
At the three that we've mentioned, I think Jack Curry is going to go the furthest, or could go the furthest. He's very raw. But he is average 7 every game for his first season when he was at Eastbourne last year. This is his first ever season in men's football. Yep. League Two, as he's finding out, is a tough old league. Look at Archibald against him the other week. Some players could have folded and Archibald would have had a great day. He didn't. He's good in the air. He's good with his feet. He can go around people. He's proven that he can defend. I think that's the main thing that he has to get better at is defending. But he can go forward. His crosses, again, I think, again, he might have to improve on. But I honestly think Jack Curry can go and will be a proper, I think he'll go all the way.
Okay. Well, I don't share your optimism, but I think he's a good talent. And I think he's definitely, I feel that Asau will be this summer. I think Curry will be the summer after. And I think Bendor, if he sticks around, will be the summer after.
See, the Bendor,
I feel like Bendor will go before that.
The Bendor stuff, I think, is his agent. I honestly believe it's his agent, because how can people be looking and talking about Alfie Bendor when he's not playing? He's had one season at Corinthian Casuals, which is a poor level. Was it Corinthian Casuals? Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Which is a poor level. He had one. He done well there. Done okay. Hasn't played hardly. He played, what, 2 games in League One, if that?
He's come to League Two. He's not playing now. I get it. I think he's going to be a star. I really do rate him. I think he will be. But how can teams like West Ham and stuff be looking at this kid now? Like, he doesn't want to do what Osama Ashley did. Do you know what I mean? And then get bombed out to, I don't know where he is now. He played against us, Colchester.
Oh,
yeah, and they're going down to the conference. You know what I mean? They're getting relegated. So I think, yeah, he just needs to bide his time. But I agree. I think he'll be the one in 3 or 4 years' time. If he stays with us, Woodyard, in a couple of years' time, when we come into the end of his career at Wimbledon, Alfie can then come in. I think Marsh will go at the end of the season, so that'll give Alfie more game time then as well.
I think Bender will start next season. I think he'll sit at risk out. Agreed. Go on loan. He needs a loan from January until 8. And that might be one of the reasons why they spend a bit of money on a centre midfielder. Or have a loan in, because they might go, we need him in because Bendel's got to go.
Remember,
out
and play. We'll lose Paris in the summer. He'll go back to Brentford, and then we'll have Pell, Woodyard, Bendel. I think we possibly could lose Marsh because he's not really doing much, and I think he's the one that you could go, right, Bendel or Marsh, we'll stick with the kid, do you know what I mean, and get another loan in if we need. But yeah, I honestly think that Curry's going to be the one that probably will make us more money than Jack Redoni made.
Well, I've kind of looked. Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting, but we're being very, very, very pie in the sky here. But if you look at Chiwomi, Stevens, Castledine, Cox, Redoni, Bendel, Asau, Curry, there is a pie in the sky-ish anything between 2 and 5 million potentially. One player, Cox, like I said, if Cox gets a decent gig somewhere, and this is everyone at 10%. Now, someone like Redoni could quite easily be 25%. So could Cox, and that situation changes. But
we've also not mentioned some of the kids that we don't know, like Morgan Williams. There's a lot of talk around him from the Welsh kid. There's talk about Paris Locke, apparently done really well on the Youth Cup the other day.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? There is some kids around there, and it does. We had Mike
that Robinson, Bartley, who's been in around it and highly charged.
I can see Bartley dropping to Conference South.
We've got, as we were talking about before, there's three-ish, possibly £3 million that could be money. I mean, it's all could
have. I asked the question the other day to Don Strasbourg members, only two of them answered, not Don Strasbourg members, the candidates, about, is it, we've had Michael Hamilton on, who obviously he does a great job with the academy. He was a really good lad to come on and really nice chat with him. Is it worth, like, we've had this chat when we first started the podcast regarding youth team or the Brentford B team model? Because you think if we had a Brentford B team now, if we had an AFC Wimbledon B team and we know we're playing against good opposition, is that going to benefit Bendel, Bartley, players like that? Look at NY. Look, we've had from Brentford, we've had Force, Madback Sorensen, Paris, NYC.
Kim Balkerstein.
Kim Balkerstein. Who's the other one we had? We had the other kid who he's playing in Finland now.
Jarkko Oksanen.
Yeah, that's the one. Oksanen. And is the youth team, will they make it? They are Jack Curry, Ogundeer, Paul Callanby, Will Nightingale. Our youth team's brilliant, but
Presley as well. Did you say Presley?
I didn't because he was useless.
Wow.
Will we make more money selling these players under a B team kind of way, or are we losing them for cheaper because of the youth team system? Brentford sold them for. Do you know what I mean? But I don't know. It's a tough call.
I think it's just an interesting thing that we could possibly be sitting on that amount of money. I'm not saying that will all go off to the... It all goes into whatever the playing budget. I think Hammond was saying it, didn't he? He was saying that it costs quite a lot of money to run the academy for a year. Each player coming through. So for every 10, but it's just interesting that there's a possible amount of money that the club might not have necessarily budgeted for. That might come to fruition, maybe.
You take the three out we've already got. There's 5 or 6 players that we've named already that could make us close to £3 million. They're not even playing for us anymore.
Yeah.
As long as you do your business right. And this, again, goes back to the MD and the head of football operations that hopefully is coming in soon, that they do get their numbers right and we start making money off players that have even left. Do you know what I mean? You play one Premiership game, we get £100,000. You play one game for England, £100,000. You captain your side, you get, you know what I mean? You play 25 games, you know what I mean? So,
yeah,
a lot of clubs do it. Remember, there's lots of talk. Remember, players have been dropped because they're useless and they're coming up to that 30th game or something and they don't want to be played because it cost the club £1 million. I can't remember names, but yeah, it has happened. But yeah, it's quite interesting, though, isn't it, Dan?
Well,
we find it quite interesting. I don't know if
and like I said, it could be nothing, it could be everything, but it's just interesting that out there, people at Accrington Stanley don't have that money out there. Then there's not that amount of money out sitting around, but we have got some decent young lads who are sitting there who could be potentially, like I said, Bursic, if he has a good end of this year, starts the next season, he's young, there's a possibility that someone picks him up. Same with Cox.
Matt Cox has one good year for Brentford, gets sold to Man U for £50 million. Mm-hmm. We pay off a lot of that stadium straight away.
If you wanted to, if that, yeah.
Or do you get what I mean? So,
yeah. Well, that's how easy it is.
Look at people at Arsenal who have paid off their stadiums and look how well they're doing now. They're getting players in, they're getting good, they're doing good business. It's all it takes is getting that stadium
food
paid
for thought, Mr. Chips.
Right. That was interesting. Right. We'll move on. And then we'll come back. We'll do a short preview of the game against Tranmere.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast by the fans for the fans.
Ah, so the final part of the podcast. I don't know what that was about.
I really enjoyed that though. We need more of that.
Right, I don't know where that came from. Final part of the podcast, we're going to be discussing the Tranmere Rovers game on Saturday. They're going to want to smash us to bits, aren't they? I reckon they're still a little bit bitter.
I'm not surprised that was the year we were going to go down, to be fair. And we absolutely dodged a bullet. That was do you remember that 0-0 before all the COVID shutdown with Jamie, what's his name? Jamie Day made He made an amazing save, Day. What is his first name? Is it Jamie? I think it's Jamie. He made a really good save. He made a really good save at the beginning. And it was a 0-0 at home. And that was the one that just got us over the line. I'm not surprised they'll feel a little bit better. But they've been quite decent this year, haven't they?
They're doing all right, I think. I'm not 100%. But yeah, you going up there? I was looking at it. £98 for a train ticket to Liverpool.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's just getting ridiculous. This trains company should be like...
That's absolutely painful. Needs to be done.
You just can't get cheap train tickets anymore at the moment. It's a ridiculous thing, but...
Well, Tranmere have got that... Well, I say they've been doing well. They're 11th. They haven't won in five. Drawn, lost, drawn specialists. Our form, obviously, win, draw.
Well, if we draw or win on Saturday, that's 9 unbeaten, which is huge. But yeah, it's a tough game because I think Tranmere fans will be telling, I'm guessing that their players will know what would have happened, do you know what I mean? And how we sunk them and how they got relegated because of it and how we all laughed at them as fans as well and gave it to them on Twitter. And yeah, I think they're going to be well up for this game against Wimbledon, even though there's no real rivalry. But yeah, I think they're going to be all over.
Would Pierce?
No.
We haven't really touched on him. He doesn't start, does he?
No, I thought he was... Well, I said I listened to it on the Radio Solent, the Weymouth game, and...
He was Joe Average, well, mate.
Yeah, to be fair, he's been out for a long time. I don't think you can throw... I think... hopefully Jack Curry's back, because otherwise that leaves us with two fullbacks that are going to be very young in... I reckon Biller will have to go on one side and
he'll have to go one side, yeah.
Ogun Deere has to go on
left, he came on left back at Weymouth and obviously we're still without Brown. I mean, I would just like to get a point and keep the momentum going. So if someone offered me the opportunity for a draw, I'd take it now, considering we haven't got a fullback. We've got two kids.
Ogundee is a fullback now. No, he's a wing back, but we're not playing wing backs anymore. So he'll have to get used to playing as a right back. Maybe does he change it around then? Do we go three at the back and he brings Pierce back in with Towler, Pierce, and Callum Bye, and then we'll go Ogundee and Biller because Biller's got pace to burn. But I'd rather not see that formation ever again.
No, I think he'll keep the exact same formation. I think Chislett comes back in. I think he'll go to Towler and he'll go to Callum Bye.
It's probably a good game to bring Chislett in because, to be fair to him, as much as I don't
rate him as high. He doesn't stop running. He'll cause issues and he'll close them down. And
he definitely made a change. And obviously the fact that Assau will come back in, I think they'll just keep it relatively similar that they've always done. It'll just be, for me, an interesting selection thing between Woodyard, Magoma, Marsh, Bendel. I presume Bendel will be a no, and I presume they'll just go with Magoma and Magoma and Woodyard, and Pearl will sit in the hole. Pearl was decent again. He wasn't unbelievable, but he was good enough on Tuesday night. But I feel like it's a game that we should look forward to. I think it will be a really good test away from home against a team who, you know, were up there before recent form. Possibly a good time to play, and we're unbeaten in eight. They haven't won in five. I don't know how they've got in the FA Cup. So I'd say I'm quietly confident, but I still would take a draw now. But I wouldn't be surprised, you know, not typical Wimbledon. It's one of the great things about sport Wimbledon. We're so erratic, so inconsistent. So
again, my only worry is our squad depth. If we go 1-0 down, you look at the bench and think, who's really coming on and going to be able to change it and get us a goal?
Plan A or plan A, aren't we, really?
Yeah, pretty much at the moment, which is the only worry I have. But as I said, I'll take a draw right now, because then that means we've beaten Orient. We've got, 5 points from the three tough games, we said.
Five points from nine. And then we go into the next set, which is relatively, you know, FA Cup, Grimsby at home, Swindon. We've now getting ourselves into a realm of, we've kind of weathered the storm. And again, I think it'll be a really good acid test for Jackson and for the squad. So I'm gonna go for 2-2. I'm going to go with
Desmond.
I think they're going to play well, but I think Assau's going to be Assau and Pell.
I go 1-1. I think 1-1. I think we'll score first, but then they'll equalise, and then it'll be like a bit of a Salford second half, really, a bit nothing. They're a draw specialist.
The big question, Lee, is Bagoma going to finally turn it around?
It seems to be getting back into form. I just don't like him in that defensive role. I'd rather have Towler in there, but I hope so. And then NYC comes back on Monday, apparently. So
he'll come back to train. So I presume we'll probably see him around Christmas.
Well, yeah, and he'll be on the bench, and then Bartley or Fisher then go out on loan. Mike, that's said, my big worry is you look at the bench, you look at Fisher, Bartley and Hudlin. None of them really excite me to come on, even Hudlin nowadays, do you know what I mean? So it's like...
We haven't seen him at all.
No, but...
He's like the Loch Ness Monster. No one's ever seen him.
I'll take a 1-1, but hopefully we'll come unscathed from that. But there's no Sunday debrief this weekend.
What?
I'm at a wedding on Sunday, so
no one's getting married on a Sunday.
Oh, yeah, these people are.
Who's getting married?
In Winchester. I don't know. I do know the girl, but it's one of Mary's work friends. So so I've got to go all the way to Winchester for a wedding Sunday, and I couldn't really say to the missus, look, I'm just going to pop out to do the debrief. Go back to the room and do a debrief for an hour and a half.
Well-deserved rest, Mr. Chips.
So no Sunday debrief. I know people will be disappointed with that. But, and again, thanks to our sponsors, Season Master, the manufacturers of secondary glazing and bifold doors. You can catch them on www.seasonmaster.com or give them a call on 01252 319 670. Gary and the family, massive Wimbledon fans, thanks very much again for sponsoring the podcast. And Danny, thanks again for joining us.
Lee, thanks again for joining us.
As always, come on your dance.
Woo-hoo.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Wombles Dream and on Facebook at the Wombles Had a Dream. Get involved. By the fans, for the fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.